I want to talk to you this morning about being rescued. How many of you have been rescued? Amen. Jesus came to our rescue. Hallelujah. And he's still doing that. And, you know, we need that constantly. You know, we need it as part of our salvation, but we need it as an ongoing thing too. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's look at our verse this morning. This verse this morning, you know, it follows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we know that verse. That is such an awesome verse of scripture. That might be the verse, you know. And because it's such an awesome verse, the next verse kind of gets lost in its shadow. It's in the shadow of John 3:16, and it just gets lost a little bit. And it says, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, through his son, the world would be saved. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to rescue us. And I don't know about y'all, but I needed rescuing. Amen. And I was rescued. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. And that's what he's done for us. We were lost and he redeemed us and rescued us. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for our worship. We thank you for ministry. We thank you for the word of God. And we just ask that you to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the coronavirus that's going around? It started in China and it has now spread to different nations and they're trying to get a handle on it, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it looks like it's starting to get a little bit out of control. They're trying to, you know, rein it in and find a solution. And the World Health Organization this week issued travel restraints, and they're just trying to do everything they can. You know, the Bible predicts that one of these days, one of those things is going to get out. It says the Bible predicts that in the last days, during the tribulation period, there will be plagues and there will be diseases. And it says there's one that's going to destroy about a third of the population. It's going to sweep across this planet. So one of these things is coming one day that's going to be really, really bad. And they're doing all they can with this one, and hopefully we're all praying that they get a handle on it. But I want to tell you about another disease. I want to talk about another disease that got out. And I don't think we look at it the way that we should. I want to change your thinking a little bit about something. I want you to look at it a little different. But there's a disease that got out and got into humanity, and it is like a virus that has spread through humanity, and I'm talking about sin. When Adam and Eve fell, and particularly Adam as the head of the human race, this disease was allowed to enter mankind, and man suddenly had a sin nature. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. He says, I find this thing in me that's not good. How many of you have found something in you that's not real good? Amen. We all have it. Don't y'all get holier than thou on me this morning. All right, don't go there. All right, we all have this thing in us. Paul said, I found this thing in me. He said, the things that I want to do, the things I know I should do, I'm not able to do. And the things I shouldn't be doing, that's what I'm doing. How many, does that sound familiar to anybody? That's what Paul said. Paul, the great apostle, said, man, there's things that I don't need to be doing that I do. And some of the things I ought to be doing, I'm not doing. And it's this thing in me. He found that sin nature, that disease that has swept across humanity, and it is passed on to all of us. None of us are exempt from it. We have a disease, but we don't think of it as a disease. We don't think of sin as a disease, but that's what it is. And that's how God sees it. God sees it as perverting and destroying his creation. And he sees it as, he sees how bad it is, but we don't always see it, and we make excuses for it, you know, and we, you know, this will be okay and that'll be okay. But it's a sickness that is destroying lives. It is a disease that is destroying lives, like the coronavirus. It's a disease that is in us, and that's the problem. It spreads and it spreads and it gets worse. Sin destroys. This disease, this crippling disease, if we would think of it, you wouldn't go up to the gas station and put Dr. Pepper in your car. Next time you're filling up, don't put Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper in your tank, because your engine's not going to run very far if you, right? Right? It needs the right thing. Your body's the same way. Guys, if you eat donuts all day long, they might taste good, but that's not good for you. It's not good for you. Your body was created to operate a certain way. And a lot of us, me included, I'm having to learn, you know, haven't through the years, haven't eaten the way we should and didn't take care of ourselves. You know, my dad used to say, you know, he just passed away, but he used to say all the time, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. And we need to learn to take care of these temples that God has given us. So if we just feed ourselves donuts and we just feed ourselves things, you know, our body's going to break down. Well, your life is the same way with sin. When sin is allowed into your life, I'm going to tell you something. It's a disease. And it affects your mind. It affects your heart. It affects your body physically. Sin will affect your emotions. Sin will affect your spirit. Sin will affect your relationships. Sin will affect your family. Sin is a disease. Somebody say amen. We get quiet on me this morning. You know, some of you are like, I didn't know anybody preached on sin anymore. But sin's a problem. Sin is a problem. It's a disease that is destroying lives, just like this virus. It's a virus and it spreads and it just destroys. And but we need to think of it that way. You know, we try a little bit of this, we try a little bit of that, but we're opening doors to the enemy. And see, God loves you. He, you know, we sometimes think, well, God's just being mean, or God, you know, God is taking away all the good stuff from me. But that goes back to eating donuts all day long. It's just not good for you, and he knows that. There are things we just don't need. We were not created for. And it's not because God's mean. It's because he loves you. And he doesn't want this to destroy you. And so we need to understand there's a cure, though, for this disease. And there's only one cure for this disease, and that cure is Jesus. And that's what the cross was all about. The cross was about curing this disease. The Bible says that when we as Christians continue to live a life that is not the kind of life that we ought to live as believers, we crucify him afresh and anew. We are bringing the crucifixion and making it in vain. It's like the power of the cross, it loses its power in our lives. Not that the cross innately loses its power, but it loses its power in my life because I'm not allowing the cross to do everything that it ought to be doing in me. God came to rescue you. God came to pull you out of that place. And if we could start seeing this, you know, this is bad. This is bad. And it's hurting me. And it will hurt those around me. And it's something that I need to get control of in my life so this virus doesn't spread, you know, continue to spread. I mean, I realize it's already spread to the whole human race. The whole human race has it, right? Now, if they were to announce tomorrow, we've got a cure for the coronavirus. So here it is, it's in this bottle. All you have to do is drink it. And this is the cure. How many people do you think would go, I don't like the color of that bottle. I don't like the color of the liquid that's in. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like, you know, I think it ought to be this or I think it ought to be that. No, the world would be excited that there was a cure. Well, God offered a cure for sin. Amen. But the world looks at, I don't like the cross. I don't like the blood. I don't like the name. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like, you know, I just, it's the cure. I don't, you know, it's hard for me to understand. The world is sick. The world is sick. And there's a cure. But they're rejecting it. Now, I want to say something about this and bring this to a close. That coronavirus that's spreading right now has stolen peace from the world. I mean, everybody's agitated about it. And that's what sin does. It ultimately, what it will do to you emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way, sin will steal your peace and rob from you the kind of life that God ultimately wants you to live. God wants you to live a life that's blessed, a life that's filled with peace, and the enemy will do everything he can. And I have fought this in my own life, I know. The enemy will do everything he can to steal your peace. And he will do it through the virus. He will do it through this thing. And that is a sickness that we need to stay away from. If the church is going to walk in power, how many of you want to see a church that's walking in power? Well, I'm just going to say this. If the church is going to walk in power, then we need to come at the disease. And we need to get the disease out of our lives. Amen? And we need to let the power of the cross work through us. And that will allow us to start to walk in overcoming power with God. It calls for healing. And that's between you and God. You know, you find a place to pray and you know the prayer in the Bible, search me, O God, and know my heart and see if there's any wicked thoughts in me. Amen? Search me, O God. And I think we need to do that. We need to get along with God and say, search me, show me. It's not between you and your neighbor. Amen? It's between you and God. You say, search me and show me, and then clean it out. Forgive me of it and clean me out. And to get rid of this coronavirus, this spiritual coronavirus that's in me, this disease that is affecting my life. Let me bring this to a close. There's only one cure. There's a sickness. There's only one cure. You can't do it yourself. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming back to this earth. I mean, there's a day coming. You guys need to see this. He is physically, literally, tangibly coming back to the planet. His feet are going to touch the earth. The Bible says the Mount of Olives will cleave in two and form the valley of which the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And he will ride up into Jerusalem. And he will come to the Temple Mount. He will come through the Eastern Gate. And if you come through the Eastern Gate, you go right up to the Temple Mount. And he will come to the Temple Mount. Right now there's the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, and it has the words, God has no son, written on it. And the Son of God is going to ride up on the Temple Mount, and all the world is going to see that God does have a son. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says that he will sit on his throne in Jerusalem, and he will rule the world with a rod of iron. And that all the world will bow. And the book of Isaiah says the kings of the earth will bring gifts and will honor him. And it says they desire to come to Jerusalem to see this new king and to inquire about him. Folks, that is a literal event that is going to happen. Joel Richardson wrote a book entitled, When a Jew Rules the World. I love the title of that book. When a Jew rules the world, and that is Jesus. He's just simply saying Jesus is coming back and he's going to rule the world from Jerusalem. And he was Jewish. And that's okay. He's going to rule the world. And the world is going to bow. But something else is going to happen. Because this is just what he does. The Bible says that when he comes back, his vesture is dipped in blood. And Isaiah says he will sprinkle the nations. Folks, that's redemption. His vestures are dripping in blood, and he will sprinkle the nations with the blood of Jesus. He will still be redeeming. He will still be redeeming. He will still be curing the disease. He will still be washing away the sickness that has pervaded our society and our world. He will still be bringing a cure. But listen to this. The Bible says the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Do you hear that? The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Glory. He is called the Prince of Peace. That's one of his names. And everywhere he goes, he brings an anointing of peace. He brings an anointing of peace. And that's because he's curing, he's healing, he's delivering, he's setting free, he's getting rid of the junk, he's getting rid of the garbage. And when he does that, he brings peace. His anointing of peace is going to spread across the world. The Bible says during this time, the lion will lay down with the lamb. That's because his anointing of peace will be so strong that even the animal kingdom that normally is against each other will lay down together. Wow. There will be so much peace radiating from his throne and from his kingdom. The Bible says they will beat their swords into plowshares. War will be no more. Because he is bringing the cure. He's bringing the cure. How many of you noticed how much anger there is in the world today? People are so angry, so divided. And folks, God is not the author of confusion. This is not God, it's the devil. And it's demonic, and the work of demons is increasing in the world. And anger and violence is increasing. Why? It's a result of the disease. It's a symptom of the disease. That's what it is. But there's a cure, and it's his peace. We used to sing that song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from heaven above. I want you to stand together with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen on television before, and Dr. Scott, you may have been a part of one of these teams, but I've seen these medical teams go into these villages where they had disease and sickness, and it's pitiful. I mean, you see, it's just pitiful. So much poverty, despair, hopelessness, little children that just skin and bones, and starvation and sickness. And I've watched those teams just on television. I haven't been a part of one, but I watched as they would line the children up and give them the vaccines and give them the shots and give them the things that they needed that would help cure the diseases that they were afflicted with. Helping them, bringing the knowledge that God has given advanced nations and helping them, inoculating them against diseases that would normally kill them. And those entire villages were rescued from a disease that quite honestly, maybe here where we live, has been stamped out. Entire villages rescued. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came with a vaccine. Jesus came with a solution. I'm going to tell you something. There's something about, and I don't know what it is, but there's something about the DNA of God. When Jesus' blood hit the earth, when Jesus' blood was shed and was applied to humanity, that was the DNA of God coming in contact with the DNA of creation. And I don't know the chemistry behind it, but I'm telling you, something happened. It did something. Because there's power in that blood. Amen? There's power in that blood. And it was like a vaccine. It was like a cure for this disease. All of us in this room, just bow your head for just a moment. Hallelujah.